council members out there can hear me, could you bring yourselves into the screen, please? Council President Nagel, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, the Zoom shows we have 13 members of council present, so all members are present. We'll call this meeting to order with full calendar. Roll call. Can I get a motion for the approval of the minutes of February 25th, 2020?
Approve.
Motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? No one's voicing their opposition. That would mean 13. Okay, the purpose of this meeting is to consider the appointments to the CARES Act Task Force. And since I'm chairing, I've taken the liberty to try to put forward a procedure that will help us move efficiently through this. So I'd like to start with clearing the deck. Other than myself, are there any council members not interested in serving on one of the task force? Councilman Street? Councilman Hollins? Councilwoman Diller?
Sorry, George, serve or not serve?
Not serve. Okay. So with that, that's four members not wishing to serve. So that leaves nine positions. Smiley,
this is Council President. I also have my hand up.
Oh, not wanting to serve?
Correct. Okay.
Councilman Taggart, you're out. You're out? Okay. Taggart's out. Councilman Woods, you're out.
Out.
Well, this should make at least the first round relatively easy. What I propose is I'm going to read the task force, and council members can let me know if that's where they want to serve. And I would, at the end, I would move that if there aren't more people than there are slots, then they be declared appointed. So just let me go through. Everyone received it, so just quick, I'm going to go through to assist the most vulnerable. That has two council designees. And again, you begin with the council members first. Support small businesses, two council designees. Support nonprofits, two council designees. Promote health equity, two council designees, and the audit and compliance county auditor is already there, and that's one additional designee. So, to assist the most vulnerable, who's interested?
George, can I ask a question?
Sure.
When I look at these, I'm trying to figure out assist. It looks like there's an awful lot of overlap, and I don't quite understand how these six were selected and what the rationale is behind them, to be honest with you. I'm happy to serve. I've got a lot of nonprofit background and other stuff, but
let's bring Brian Boyle in for any questions there. That's why I asked him to be in the queue.
Sure. So thank you, Councilman Spine. Thank you for your question.
Thank you.
Councilman Carter. These were selected help us accomplish three main goals. One is to help alleviate the virus, to help mitigate the virus and remove it from our communities. The second goal is to help the most vulnerable in our communities. That's those who are at risk due to health, and also those most vulnerable because of economic situation. The third is to help restart our economy. We feel like these six task forces would help us to accomplish those three goals and to do so quickly. Councilman Carter, as you know, the CARES Act funding must be spent by the end of this year, or it is forfeited to the federal government. And so the goal of these task forces is to quickly put together plans and to make recommendations for the county to move forward.
And the concern I have, Ryan, is, I mean, I've done, for instance, after when we were involved with some of the relief money after the 2008 crash and other stuff, we had a few tiger teams with experts. They came up with a first cut. Then we went to the public for added input. We did that online. We did that with a couple of quick workshops and came back in. It looks like you're trying merging and trying to do some of that, but I just haven't quite seen how this is that efficient of a process to try and get it done. And it looks like it should be, or it could be streamlined. I mean, I think it's important to spend it. I'm happy to help wherever you can, but I just want to make sure I see this. I don't yet see what the background going into this, what the support team for these task force are. There's a lot of writing, a lot of review, a lot of research. You know, I don't know what we have, for instance, for the nonprofit stuff. Do we have a good database from Dana for their survey that they did? What are the resources bases that are going to make these things work? Task forces typically are longer deliberative processes that are not really conducive to what I think we're trying to do in the short term for this money. I'm just trying to understand how we're going to accomplish it with this process.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman. I think you put your finger on an issue that we face, which is we need to move quickly in making these decisions. The task forces will each have staffing support from the administration in addition to volunteer experts in various fields, members of the community, county council members or their designees, and municipal leader designees. The challenge that you referenced, Councilman, is absolutely there, and we recognize it. There's additional challenges. We need to move quickly, but we also know that the federal law could change. The situation on the ground could change. There are proposals now before Congress that would change the use of this money. There are proposals to add additional funding for state and local governments, and we continue to learn more about the virus every single day. And so we need to both act quickly because there's a crisis today in our communities. There's a health crisis and there's an economic crisis. But we also know that we're going to have to be nimble. I share your concerns, but our goal is to make sure that these task forces meet weekly over the coming months and put together a plan of action to help us respond to these crises.
Do you have an operational plan other than meeting weekly? Do you have, for instance, a pre-application process for people interested in these funds with some of the criteria to start? Do we have a schedule that you would review those as a task force, prioritize monthly and modify as the needs change? I need to see, I'd like to see, or I'm happy to help you write an operational plan of how this is going to roll out over time. Just telling me meeting weekly is not giving me, well, it means a lot of late nights.
Councilman Carter, I think we all appreciate your concerns. We all know the goal here is to get people on board. You're going to have oversight. Hopefully, I mean, we've already been distributing some money. We've got nonprofits that have processes that will be on board. We got federal guidelines. My concern is this, quite honestly. I'll put it in the preface where I know I understand it, many of you may. I don't want this program to be like the Wednesday morning when I got the call offered to endorse my election for office and I'd already won. We need to get it done. And if you see hiccups in it, bring them up. Hopefully, they have to get addressed.
Just contextually, so you understand, George.
I understand.
Just contextually, how that operation is going to work. really dictates who you should put on these committees.
Well, each task force may want
to operate. I'm a little concerned without that in front of us that we might be doing this a little bit backwards, but maybe there's something behind the scenes we haven't seen yet.
Each task force may have a different idea on how they want to operate. Okay, to assist in the most vulnerable. Oh, Councilman Street wants to speak.
You're muted.
You're muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I thought it was hit. You did it like you do me. Yes, Councilman.
Okay. I'm just, as it relates to nonprofit, and I don't want to serve, but whoever's going to do that shouldn't let Dana be the end all to do this, because there's just too many nonprofits. The Dana, they're not members of Dana. And I'm looking at coming out of my territorial domain, and I'm not talking about the agency that I retired from. You know, in this emergency situation, people having to pay $75 a day for daycare. Some of these daycare centers are going to go under. How are we going to replace those, and how are we going to make sure we touch base with those that have no knowledge of Dana and no knowledge of this stream of funding? But when people go back to work, they're going to need child care.
I have to.
Councilman Sheldon.
Yeah, so I have to agree 100% with Councilman Street. I sent you the email and I sent Janet. It was kind of funny. The money that we approved came from foundation saying thank you for asking for a request of your money. This is what you have to do. It was the money that we all agreed on, and I'm going to say it's from United Way. I saw the letter, and they were taking credit for it. And if they didn't know, if you didn't know no better, you would think you would have to ask them for all the upcoming money. So I agree, Dana and others. People don't just assume because we're in a nonprofit organization, nobody knows a lot of these people. They want to come to us.
And I'm thinking the diversity of people in there that come, like have the background of you guys, that hopefully that'll work. I just.
That's why Stephen Street should be on that one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask one last time on this card. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brian, I guess from the standpoint of our first responders, our police, fire, and emergency medical services, does that fall under any particular element of the task force research, or is public safety more in its own realm? Because when I hear nonprofit, certainly our volunteer fire departments are nonprofit. However, they're part of the front line. And significant expenses and everything. And as far as paying personnel, we have, and I just voice this now, is that when they talk about bonuses, when they talk about things for paid personnel, certainly the volunteer fire companies have a number of full-time paid, but the volunteer fire companies, the way they deliver the emergency medical services today is they have a tremendous amount of volunteers that do part-time. They're still certified, they still make the responses, but they have a designated block of time that they respond to. So I just want to make sure that at the end of the day, all of our public safety personnel, in addition to the other things that have been brought forward with recovery as far as businesses and nonprofits and everything, is handled.
Sure. Thanks for the question, Councilman Bell. I think to your point regarding the nonprofit status of the fire companies, it would sound like to me that would be an appropriate task force to discuss funding. I can tell you that we are already discussing, and I know council is a part of discussions regarding how we can better serve those folks on the front lines. We are working really hard to make sure we have testing available, for instance, to our first responders. And that's been a real emphasis from this administration. And we are just this week providing testing for firefighters and 911 call operators. So I think that it sounds like the fire companies, because of the nonprofit status, I think that there would be a fit there with that specific task force. I also want to state that there, you know, this is not the end all be all for ideas. If there are additional ideas that council members have, task forces, even if you're not serving, you can bring them to the administration. We can talk about them through committee meetings. I think we all share your commitment, Councilman, to protecting our first responders, and we're happy to work with you.
Just real quickly, follow up there is that, you know, I don't want to see our volunteer fire service, which is contracted by the county government to provide first line fire, rescue, emergency medical, if they fall into categories where they're competing with a lot of nonprofits, sometimes it's like comparing apples and oranges. And the same risk and dangers are there for all firefighters, all EMTs. And I don't want to see paid departments receiving you know, benefits and support and reimbursements and everything, and then our volunteer fire service having to compete with everyone in a category of nonprofits. I think they are a very distinct and important part of providing emergency services in this county, and they save us millions upon millions of dollars each year by continuing to be managed by them and being a paid volunteer service. So thank you.
Councilman Cartier.
Look, thank you, Chairman. Councilman Bell, to give you a little reassurance on that, I'm going to be bringing forward a basically a new emergency ordinance that has object levels detailing aid to the volunteer fire service as a separate category beyond what's described in these task forces. That'll be coming to us, to council, at our meeting on the 26th.
Okay, Council President Nagel.
Yes, Mr. Boyle, I wanted to bring your attention. The six task forces created by the county do not specifically address our municipalities. They are allowed as members of these groups, but it's not clear what and where municipal issues can be addressed. If Bloomington, Newark, and Middletown collectively represent close to 25% of the county population, I'd like to see this remedied. How would you do that, and will you?
So I think you mentioned there is municipal representation on some of these committees. In addition, we are talking with all of the municipalities. The county executive has announced his support for reimbursements to municipalities up to $5 million in total. And we're working with them to help make sure that if they have expenses as it relates to the COVID-19 response, we want to make sure that they're able to make those expenses and can get reimbursed through this.
I believe it would be prudent in order to have a task force that represented the municipalities themselves. Can we do that? Hello?
Right.
Mr. Boyle?
Well, I think we lost him.
Maybe we lost him. I know in the meeting that I listened in on with the municipalities, they were forming their own groups to look at how they were spending the money and had to report back. But I don't know. I don't know what he's got there. But
yeah, I would just suggest, and I would like to see a task force if they're going to be created and we're going to, that specifically addresses the municipalities and has the mayors involved.
If I had my way, they wouldn't get anything. That would take care of that, but not me. Okay. If they come up with another task force, we'll revisit, and he pops back in, Tara, throw him back in the mix and let me know. But you want to see if we can get anybody on the committee or task force, whatever you want to call it.
Mr. Chairman, because public safety will be handled a little bit differently, I'll opt out as far as being selected at this time.
Okay. I'm going to start at the top one more time. Let's get through at least once. To assist the most vulnerable. To support small businesses. Mr. Cartier. To support nonprofits. Okay. We have Ms. Durham, Mr. Sheldon, and Mr. Cartier. Does anybody wish, Carter. Does anyone wish to withdraw? Councilman Sheldon.
I'll go with John on the small business one.
Okay.
Councilman Smiley, may I just make a comment?
Yes.
I just feel strongly that if more than two of us want to serve or participate or listen in or, you know, get the emails of these task forces, that we should be able to. I feel strongly that that our participation should not be limited. So
we didn't establish the criterion that's been out there. So that's what it is. But I'm sure anyone can request that they receive the minutes or whatever's going on. And if they're public sessions, anyone can attend.
I don't think they should be limited to two of us.
Okay, then let me put it to you this way. I've got the criteria that everyone else got. That's what we're working off of. We get two. If someone else wants on, then they should contact the administration directly and ask for an extra to be on it.
Well, I thought that's what this discussion here today was all about, and Brian Boyle is on the call, or at least he was.
No, this discussion was to fill the two positions that are assigned each one.
Well, my understanding Mr. Boyle is this Brian morning, be on the call to be part of the conversation.
Well, I had that conversation with this morning to see what I had to do. There's nothing, you know, this is what it is. If you want more, if someone else wants on, just contact them and ask them as a council member. I'm sorry, Mr. Carter, you look frustrated. You all right, bud?
I'll do whatever. I will try to do everything I can. I've been through this with emergency funds before.
Yeah.
So I love serving on the nonprofit. I just downloaded the list. We have over 4,000 of them just in Delaware. That's 3 years ago. I have the full list of everybody registered with the IRS. If nobody else wants it, I'll also serve on assisting the most vulnerable, because I think that's going to overlap.
Right now there's nobody. So
I'm happy. I finished teaching Monday. I'll finish grading by Saturday. I got nothing else going on this summer other than council. So I think we need to have some continuity between those two so I can help with both.
Thank you, sir. Promote health equity. Councilman Taggart, was that your hand?
I had a question, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
but not for the committee. So if we don't fill up these positions with council members per se, would we then in turn see if any aides would potentially want to serve on a committee?
My intent would be, and council can approve it or not approve it, go through the council members, get what they want, then open it up for council members to appoint members of our staff. And once that's done, open it up if council members want to appoint from the outside. And council members, other than council members, you got to decide whether you want approval or you want to just kick the ball to the exec. But I have no problem with aides, you know, if somebody wants to serve. You know, these are technically for council, so I think we should stay there first and respect council's wishes. So, promote health equity. Councilman Hollins. You're muted. Yes, sir.
Thank you. For clarity, I think they're either for council members or for council members to appoint someone.
Right.
It could be an assistant or it could be someone from the community.
Absolutely.
So I was going to say someone volunteered for the vulnerable population. I was going to suggest someone from the community, but since Councilman Carter said he would do both, then I would just allow him to.
We have a vacancy there.
There's only one of them on there. I could use help.
We have a vacancy there.
If you got somebody good, bring them in.
Yeah, well, I would consider appointing Reverend Clifford I. Johnson to the committee for the
with all due respect, Councilman Hollins, can I roll through the next.
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then we'll circle back.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Because we have more council. Okay. Promote health equity. Any council member? Okay. We have one position on audit and compliance. Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Question.
Who's that? Councilman Cartier? Yes, sir.
So, we don't have anybody who wants to serve on Eliminate the Virus and Mitigate the Second Wave, correct?
That's not one of ours.
That's not one of ours?
No. We don't have appointments on the first one.
Okay.
All right,
fine.
Now, we'll start at the top and go back through and see if any council member has anyone they want to appoint. Assist with the most vulnerable. Council. How about everybody unmute? How about everybody unmute? Okay. Councilman Hollins, you spoke earlier. You have someone for the most vulnerable?
Yes.
Or, okay. Yes. Does anybody have anyone for the most vulnerable? Councilman Taggart? Councilman Hollins? Councilman Taggart, what do you got?
If there's a position, I'd like to offer up my aide, Valerie.
Councilman Hollins has someone, so we're going to put this to a vote. Or go ahead.
Councilman Carter's already on another one. How about relinquishing one of them?
No, he's only on one.
No, he's on two.
He's on two.
He said he'd give that up. Or did I misunderstand?
I'll do whatever.
Nonprofits is Durham and Court.
I'll tell you the reason I did that.
Oh, wait a minute.
These things are so overlapped that I am deeply concerned
about
these efforts. So.
Okay.
But where that's fine.
Where do you want to stay? Nonprofit?
Yes, I prefer to stay on nonprofits.
Okay.
And I was hoping to have that coordinated well with the most vulnerable.
Okay.
I don't understand the logic of separating them.
Okay. So now we have Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Taggart. Sheldon, I'm sorry.
No.
Councilman Hollins, your appointee.
Reverend Clifford I. Johnson. I haven't asked him yet. I'll just have to ask him, so I'm not so certain, but he's very community-oriented, very in-tuned.
Well, like they do in the civics, the suggestion is to call him and tell him congratulations.
I'll let you know how that works out.
And Councilman Taggart, you want?
Valerie.
George, okay. Okay, does anyone have anyone for the health equity that they'd like to appoint? Ms. Diller.
I actually have two. One would be Gwen Angelet.
Gwen?
Angelet, A-N-G-E-L-E-T. She's actually one of your constituents.
And you still want to do it?
Pardon?
And you still want to do it?
I do, because I know her.
That was Gwen Angelet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the other one is Reverend Dr. Robert Hall, who recently retired from the Delaware Ecumenical Council on Children and Families. And he really does have a public health background. I don't know if he'd be willing to serve, but he has been beating the drum on air quality issues for a long time in terms of minority communities. Simply because of his public health background, I think he would be good if he would be willing to serve. And he's a constituent of Councilman Cartier's.
I would be
willing to reach out to both of these folks to see if they would be willing to serve.
Okay, let me run down the line here. To assist with the most vulnerable, we have the Reverend Clifford I. Johnson and Valerie George. To support small business, we have Councilman Cartier and Councilman Sheldon. To support nonprofits, we have Councilwoman Durham and Councilman Carter. Promote health equity, Gwen Angeli and Reverend Dr. Robert Hall, Audit and Compliance, Mr. Wasserbach is there, and Councilwoman Kilpatrick. Is there any other questions, any comments?
Yes.
Yes.
If Lisa's don't work
the Council President, I think the Council President's had something to say.
Yeah, I've had my hand up since almost the beginning, but thank you for finally calling on me. I want to make sure that all of the meetings are at different times, because I intend to attend all of them. So if they're at different times, we can do that. Because right now, I think that the way this has been set up and the limited input that council members have been allowed to have has really diminished, it appears to be, to try to diminish our authority and input into this. You know, we were not even given the time to ask people on the outside, as we're seeing here right now, to be on the committees besides ourselves. So, you know, I'd like to insist that all of the committees meet at different times to make it possible that any of the council people can have input and also attend all of the task force meetings.
I would recommend you submit your insistence to the executive branch, because we're not setting them. Councilman Carter.
Just in case for the health and equity, Lisa, if you don't have your two come in, another person that is actually, I think, in your district would be Erin Knight, who does her research on health equity in Delaware.
Oh, right.
In the Biden School of Public Policy, this is what she specializes in. And I'm happy to contact, if you need, I'm happy to set you up with her. I know her very well. She's a colleague. I do a lot of work with her. But since this is her specialty focused on Delaware, and of course, you know, the folks from the children's program there and the research that they do would be really good as well. The Kids Count program, which would really drive the data and tell you where we're having the problems, or may help you. But Erin would have access to all that too.
Councilwoman Dillard, did you still have something? And then Councilwoman Durham?
Pardon?
Did you still have something? I thought I saw you earlier.
I was going to say I'll contact these folks and see if they're willing to serve.
Councilwoman Durham.
Thank you. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Brian might be back on the line. Hopefully he can hear us. So I just wanted to...
Can you pop Mr. Boyle back in?
He's here, Councilman.
Thank you, Tara. There you are.
Mr. Boyle.
So we lost you earlier.
I knew.
We lost you earlier, and
okay. There's been a question about whether the number of appointments by council can be enlarged.
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, whether officially or unofficially, if you could make sure we all get notified of all the meetings. And or at least have a way of letting us sign up to for whichever ones we're interested in and getting notifications of them all to participate. And also President Hartley Nagel asked if you could strive to do your best to not schedule them at the same conflicting times in case we're interested in listening to, you know, in on more than one.
Yeah, so first of all, let me apologize. I lost power, I think, in the middle of a question. So, and then I was just struggling to get the internet back on. So I guess.
Glad to have you back.
Thanks, Councilman. So with regard to the Council President's request, I think that's a valid request, and we'll try our best to make that work. Understanding that there are six different task forces, we're trying to juggle a number of different schedules. But I think it's a really good recommendation, and so we'll definitely take that to heart. With regard to letting council members know, our plan is to follow the FOIA guidelines. Our hope is to make sure we're posting these publicly at least a week in advance. We will also make sure we're emailing county council members as we move along with a weekly schedule. So that's something we can do.
That's great. Thank you.
Councilwoman Dillard.
Yes, Mr. Boyle, if we have suggestions for the task force who aren't associated with county council, should we just email them directly to you? the names and the task force with which they'd be associated?
You're welcome to share any recommendations with me.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
So that was actually going to piggyback on my question, and we kind of migrated into that a little bit earlier. What if some of the people that have offered up a name would choose not to serve? That would create a vacancy. Do you plan to circle back with council potentially through email, or just say contact administration directly?
Here's what I was going to ask. I want to enter a motion to adopt all the proposed appointments that we have now to council. Upon approval of that, I'm going to ask everyone to circle back with me as today's Tuesday as soon as possible, but so no later than, let's say, Thursday night with the results. And then I can put it all back to council if it's full. If it's not, we will put it, if I have to. I know nobody likes the word emergency anymore, but we'll get an executive agenda or whatever put on for the 26th, because finance, you know, I got to look at the agenda, but I know we got budget and everything else, so it's going to be heavy. But so we'll put a time in there to circle back. But I want to put the list out, and I want to get a list over to the administration. Is that fair enough to everybody?
Yes.
Okay, so a motion to approve the list that I've already, let me run through it real quick. So this is the most vulnerable, Reverend Clifford I. Johnson, Valerie George, support small business, John Cartier, Timothy Sheldon, Councilman Sheldon, support nonprofits, Councilwoman Durham, Councilman Carter, promote health equity, Gwen Angeli, Reverend Dr. Robert Hall, with a backup of Aaron Knight, if one of those can't, and Councilwoman Kilpatrick. So I can get a motion to adopt all of those.
So move.
So move.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Those appointees of council outside of council, when you send me the information, if you could send me their contact information and all, my goal is to have all that in a packet and over to the administration. So even if it's not complete, I'd like to get them something Friday, and we tighten up the whole first part of next week. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Hey, sir. Anything under other? Councilman Street.
Councilman Cartier, you said you're going to bring something forward Tuesday. And I have two questions. Number one, is it going to be an emergency?
Yes, but it's not going to be in the scope or scale of the previous emergency ordinance that 007 that you were looking at. There's only going to be one ordinance.
All right. And realizing that whatever you appropriate, whatever may get passed and appropriated that night has to be spent in 60 days?
I think so.
Yep. Back to the regular.
By the end of December.
No, if I may, emergency ordinance expires in 60 days. So either it has to be completed or we have to renew it through the regular process, which the emergency ones that got tabled last week are being readjusted, changed from what I understand, and put in the regular ordinance format, and they're going to be introduced next week. So you're right, unless we do another one to overlap it.
One emergency ordinance coming forward next Tuesday.
All right. I've got, number one, if you said you were going to break it out in a specific line item for fire, are you going to break all the public safety out individually? Or is it going to break all the public safety out individually?
So we were going to have greater detail on each object level, and we're also going to basically limit it to an $85 million, not the whole amount. The balance of that is going to go to the $237 million. I don't want to get into greater detail, but going to go to through the regular process. So it's only a piece of the entire $322 million.
No, it's important. At 85, it's a fourth.
It is a fourth.
I'm going to go to Councilwoman Kilpatrick and then the Council President, but first I want to say, be clear on this now, based on what we went through last week.
Yeah.
Nothing's going on the agenda or getting posted unless the complete document is available for the clerk and deputy clerk to post online with the agenda. So law needs to get it done and get it where it needs to go, even if it's an emergency. It's got to go out with this, with the top sentence. I'm not going to, I don't think any of us want the accusations that have been made against our staff over last week ever made again. So, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, and then Council President Daigle.
Thank you. I believe, Mr. Street, that the only reason that it has to stay an emergency ordinance is so that the money can be spent immediately, because there are places out there like the city of Wilmington that are, and the state, that are looking for reimbursement. If it's changed from an emergency to a regular ordinance, it has to go through the whole process, which takes 2 to 3 weeks.
Sure.
So by making it an emergency, the money can be allocated immediately after that vote.
Right.
The city of Wilmington out there asking for like $1.4 million right now in reimbursement, and that bill's been sitting there for several weeks.
Councilman Street, I'm going to come back to you if I may. The Council President's been wanting to speak.
I'd like to make the point that since the emergency ordinance E20006 was tabled, it was brought to light that our county is more than likely in violation of their own procurement regulations, meaning the announcements made by the county executive indicate that many recent purchases have exceeded the thresholds that would have required council approval beforehand. And so if they weren't in violation, then the ordinance wouldn't have been necessary.
Okay. Councilman Street.
Well, I'm not going to argue about the use of emergency. I just have a problem with that, but I'll see what's there when we get to Tuesday. But I would like to see it before 4 o'clock on Tuesday.
That was the point I just made.
It's going to be available for folks well before the meeting.
Councilman Woods.
Yeah, actually, outside of this, I'd have another question for Brian Boyle. When it comes to testing, I don't know if Brian's still on.
Yeah, he's back.
So I'm curious. I know we talked about testing for volunteer firefighters in the 911 center. Are we testing our paramedics and our police? Is that something that's in the works too right now, or is that?
Yes. That's all in the works, Councilman. We're working to make sure all of our first responders are able to get tested. In addition, we've worked really closely with the state to begin opening up testing more publicly available, even to asymptomatic individuals. We worked with the state to find a company called Curative, which offers a saliva test. It's actually self-administered, and that's allowed the testing capacity to greatly increase. We're working with the state to over the next few weeks and months to greatly increase the testing capacity here in Newcastle County for the general public. But with regard to the first responders, we're working really hard to make sure all of our first responders are tested and tested regularly.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else under other? Is there any public comment?
Yes. Mr. Wasserbach.
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, County Auditor. I've got a few questions for Brian Boyle from the administration.
Hey, Mr. Carter, can you reach over and shake him?
My questions are on the task forces. Has the executive branch already identified its appointees to the various task forces?
We're looking to finalize those appointments in the coming days. So we have not finalized those yet.
Okay, and as far as a chairperson for each task force, has that person already been identified, or will that person be selected by the task force at the initial meeting? How will that work?
The chair will be selected by the county executive.
And I see on the document distributed last week on the CARES Act plan that the first meeting is supposed to happen this week. Is that really feasible?
With the updated PDF that I shared today, and I'll send a copy to you, Mr. Wasserbach. We've updated that to be next Friday, and that our goal is to try to get things to occur by next week.
Okay. And then my last question is there going to be any sort of a charter developed, or will each committee develop a charter which provides more specifics on what that task force's charge is?
I don't think we'll be developing charters. There will be charges. There will be a mission for each of the task force to put together a plan to the county by June 30th.
So the plan is to distribute some sort of a document to the task force members at the first meeting? I guess I'm hopping on at Dave Carter's questions earlier as far as more specifics on exactly what each of these task forces is responsible for. Well,
I don't think I understand the question.
I guess in looking at these six task forces, okay, let's say I'm on the committee for support small businesses. I guess I'd want to know, if I was appointed to that committee, I guess I'd want to know more details on exactly what I'm supposed to be doing as a member of that committee and what my committee as a whole is responsible for coming up with at the end of the day.
I see. So your question is, will there be additional details shared with the task forces?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other public comment? Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second. Adjourned, second. All in favor?
Aye.
See you next Tuesday. Keep an eye on your agendas to see whether, well, if we have to put on an executive